You are listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. You can find us at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Happy listening.
We had a lovely holiday. We feel really refreshed and relaxed. And I think I've discovered that holidays give you a bit of a punctuation to your year, don't they? There was before the holiday and there's after the holiday, and we actually got to take a break. So I've asked some of you, are you going away? I hope you get the opportunity to go away. And what I'm learning is that if I leave, then I don't get caught up in all the stuff that I normally do, which is always very, very helpful. How have you been surviving the weather? Us, our little Northern Irish bodies, don't know really what to do with it, and the infrastructure of this country does not accommodate either deep snow or heavy heat like we've been in, so I hope you're doing okay with that. Okay, so how have you been getting on with the message series? Hopefully you've been discovering, Andrew used progressive layering, and I thought that's a great phrase for it. The more that we dive into this swimming pool that is Psalm 23, the more that you see that it all is one, and every bit of it hinges on the Lord being our shepherd. And I want to really do a fairly thorough recap, because I think there's a lot of benefit in that. Thank you, Mr. Montgomery, for speaking for the past 2 weeks. I did listen to your messages, and I did benefit from them. I did what I said I would do. So let me read Psalm 23 to you. You can close your eyes, stare at me, do whatever you want to do, get it on your phones, whatever is your habit. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet and still waters. He restores my soul, semicolon, that's important for today. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows or runs over or is full to the brim. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as I'd mentioned before, Andrew coined it, the psalm is a progressive layering on the reality and the truth of the opening verse, that is, he is my shepherd. So the question I asked you at the start was, whose shepherd is he? Is he your shepherd? And it's too easy to be black and white about this. Oh yes, he's my shepherd. Yes, he's my shepherd. But actually there's this area over here where we're not really wanting to let him be the shepherd, because we're doing very well. Thanks very much. So it's about yielding and giving what the Spirit is asking for, which makes it a bit more of a journey and a bit more of a day-to-day response rather than just, yes, he's my shepherd. He is my shepherd, but there's other areas where he still wants. And as he asks for them, I want to be able to give that to him, as do all of us. It's present tense, he is my shepherd. And if he is your shepherd, then you shall not want. And everything flows from that, or you won't be in lack. And as I'd said when I was speaking about that week, it's possible to feel lack and want and actually miss the provision that he's given to you. And it's a death to our self-interest often that we have to go through to be able to go, that's my provision right there. I am sure you can all say this with me, but the amount of times that God's provision for me has been offensive to me have been quite a lot. Rarely does he give me what I want the way he wants it from the person that I want it to come from. Normally it looks nothing like what I think that I need from a person that I have great difficulty with, and at a time and in a way that seems totally inappropriate to me. It seems to be how he works. Personal unmet expectations rob us of the joy of God's provision, and we've got to note that he thinks so differently to us, and particularly today when we talk about paths of righteousness. He thinks so differently to us. Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. And I remember going, so a bit like with Claire, so you're not the same as me. I mean, I could have nodded my head and said, oh yes, of course, she's different to me. No, she is completely different to me. I mean, the stuff that bothers her doesn't bother me, and the stuff that really irritates me, she's like, oh, it doesn't matter, it's fine, everything's okay. If you want to see how irritated she gets, I think I'm amazing at packing the dishwasher. Claire literally opens it and goes, ah! His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And to be able to think differently, where we're transformed, Romans 12:2, it's the only place and only way that we are transformed is by the renewing of our minds. So we're going to have to think differently and die to our self-interest. Yield ourselves, die in a healthy way, and let ourselves be shepherded. And as Dallas Willard said, it's not the death of self, but the death to self. And often the things that we want to stick the knife in are not the things that he requires to die. It's the things that he wants to show us. So it's this process of progressive layering. And Andrew talked about he makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters. And he said that all this is available now and really attainable. And we're seeking to raise the bar from intellectual assent to the truth, but to move it to application, that it's attainable, it's experiential, and it is actually reality. He restores my soul. Most translations use the word restore, but also the word refreshes, renews, revives, strengthens, makes me whole again. Worldly restoration is taking something back to its former glory, and often we are recycling or upcycling, and as Andrew said, slapping on a bit of chalk paint and an improvement, but nothing like its former glory. But biblical restoration in God's economy is over and above in greater quantity and quality than the original state. Did you take that line away and look at your life with that, those lenses in it all? If you haven't, take a bit of time to do that. Biblical restoration is over and beyond in greater quantity and quality than its original state. So, I remember when the last Sunday, before I went on my holidays, I'd put Colin there. He was sitting on that seat, and I was speaking him to him a lot because I was really quite disappointed. I'm going to tell you what I was disappointed about, and it's not in life or death, but it is absolutely a process and a story of restoration. So our lovely friends had invited us to go and spend time with them in Donegal because they'd rented a house. And on the Saturday before we were due to go on the Monday, we got a phone call. And when your friends say to you, are you on your own? Is it just you and Claire? You're thinking, oh, this is probably not going to be good. And he said, we're sitting at the house, outside the house in Donegal, and my wife has just got a text to say that our daughter needs to self-isolate. And we went, oh. And this year, I think, has taught us all to hold our plans a little more loosely. Hasn't it? We've had to just go, okay, could be told to self-isolate at a moment's notice. I've done two, know how to do it, but it's not really enjoyable. So we were just gutted for them, gutted for their daughter who had to self-isolate, gutted for us. Anna had an alarm set on Alexa from 100 days to hit it every day to say when we were going on our holidays. And Anna and I would be quite similar, so I did cry a little. I was really sad. I was really looking forward to her holding. But I did put in our message chat in my moments of clarity. I said, God tends to restore things in greater quantity and in greater quality. So we ended up going up on the Wednesday. We were going to initially stay, I'd written this down. We were going to initially stay for 8 days. So we went on the Wednesday and stayed through to the final Saturday, which was 10 days. And I think it was probably the best holiday that we have, to one other time when we were just the four of us, that we've ever had, especially with our besties. It was just phenomenal. And I'm standing here refreshed, and I was standing here before really gutted and disappointed. Greater quantity and greater quality than to what had existed before. That's something that we have as people of God. They don't have that. They just have disappointment and pain. What we have is hopefully the ability to go, I'm gutted, I'm disappointed, it hurts, I wish it wasn't like this, I didn't want to go through this, but there's something else going on. Just a holiday. But maybe at some point it'll be more than just a holiday, and I'll be able to stand and go, this hurts and it's yuck and don't like it, but greater quantity and greater quality than it existed before. So today we're talking about He leads me in paths of righteousness. Now, what on earth does that mean? Like, what? And the bit about for His namesake, what is... Sometimes I think that we have heard things so many times that we just go, oh, that's right, that's what it says. But I have racked my brains as to what are these paths of righteousness? Does it just mean right, the right way? Is it just like right? What actually is righteousness? And what is this for His namesake? What... Anybody else with me on that? Is it just one of those verses that we roll out? Well, I've been doing a little bit of digging, and I'm awfully pleased with what I've discovered. And actually, there's been a bit of a question that I've been asking. I was redoing Isaac's room and spent a bit of time with flat pack furniture, which I need to be on my own to work with, because it's just not good if it's not. And actually, Claire helped me a little last night, and it was really good, so I think our marriage must be getting better, because... flat pack furniture needs to be done on a cooler day by yourself with plenty of time. Okay? So I had to go and get the bed that was going into Isaac's bedroom. And I was driving and on my own, which was lovely, and listening to music. And I was saying to God, I don't understand this, why you're doing this in this way. And all of this process before for 20 years, and my studies were this, and then you led me away from that, and then now I'm back to that. Did I miss you there? Did I get that wrong? Did I mishear you, and it was my soul that led me, and therefore, actually, that time in Titanic as a purchasing assistant, was that just... Did I miss that? And then I didn't miss that. I had prayed and fasted and heard Him clearly, and this was the thing that I needed to do, and I'm going, what... I don't understand. This is really, really good. Okay? So I started digging, uncovered some gold, and I've already told you that bit, so let's move on. So firstly, we've got to notice that after He restores my soul is a semicolon. Does anybody know what a semicolon does? For all the teachers out there, shame on you if you don't. Say that again. Could have ended, but it doesn't, sort of carries on. Anything else you'd like to add to that? Adds to what's been said before. So we follow the shepherd and we get restored. Yes. No, there's not much. Come on, work with me with your eyes, all right? So if we follow Him, no matter where He leads us, we're going to get restored. If we go after personal restoration, the world is obsessed with, you need some me time. Do you get some time to be by yourself? You know, mind matters and just, you know, you need time for yourself. Self-care. Yeah. Yeah, I just thought I'd try that. Let me try that again. You need time. It's all about self-care. You've got to carve out some time for yourself. And yes, you do. But what if the shepherd's not leading you that way? And everybody else seems to be getting it, and you're not. And He's clearly leading you to a way that doesn't look like self-care. Well, if you trust Him, you're going to be in a better state than those that carved out the time for self-care. A semicolon joins two or more ideas in one sentence. So He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This progressive layering, and as C.S. Lewis wrote in the last book of the Narnia series, which was The Final Battle, I think, further up and further in, okay? So we're always kind of stepping up into this, and at the same time as we're stepping up into the 23rd Psalm, we're going deeper into it, and it's making more and more sense. I have some fancy watercolors, which I love and are wonderful, and the first time I used them, they freaked me out a little bit, because I like the color to remain as it was that I put there. But these awfully fancy watercolors, their pigment, you're all going... The pigment is really strong, so the pigment settles into the little pockets that are in the watercolor paper, which is just lovely. So in the 23rd Psalm, all of this process is beginning to separate out different pigments of the picture that God is painting of what He actually is to us as our shepherd. So we've got to strip off the familiarity a little bit. Just like in the process of restoring an oil painting, we tend to get used to the older colors and the faded colors, that when they're restored, they're really quite foreign to us, so it takes a wee bit of time to get used to them. So hopefully that's a little bit of what's going to happen when I share this. So He restores my soul, semicolon, attached to that, He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I love etymology and the original words. So in the Hebrew, in the paths, magal means a circuitous path. It's roundabout and it's winding. It's not straight, nor is it direct. Okay? So it's a circuitous path. The word righteousness, which is tzedek, means accurate, fair, just, or what is right. So the right thing to do at the right time. And for his name's sake, the names is Shem and sake is man. Basically, it means because God's signing this check. He is putting his name to this. So because he's putting his name to your life, he wants to lead you in a way that points to who he is. Now, who is he? Crowd participation moment. Brackets, close brackets. He's our shepherd. What's he like? He's good. Anything else? He's what? All powerful. Anything else? What were you going to say, Anna? He's kind. He's wealthy. He's got abundance. He's excellent. He is a master at everything that you can conceive of. He is just wonderful. Isaac, the hand's still up. What are we going to say? He's our father. He's really, really good. He is putting his name to your life. So because he's putting his name to your life, he wants it to look a certain way. Now, the context of this verse is that in the Judean countryside where David tended the flock, there were no raised paths and the tracks were merely tracks. Sometimes six or eight paths ran unevenly alongside each other and converged and went over each other. And the only way for the sheep to take and find the right path is to be beside the shepherd, not to have the shepherd by their side. Do you see the fundamental difference? So this is not about you going along your path and ensuring that God's beside you. He won't do that. You tend to find that it feels like we're not as close. You know, I don't know. And I mean, I know he's with me all the time, but it just kind of feels like we're not as close. The reason is because you're not with him. So if there is that disconnect, you want to be asking yourself, do I need to move and do something to move myself closer to him? He's with you all the time anyway, but there's a with you and there's a with you. So you don't want him with you, you want to be with him. Rabbi Harold Kushner tells the Talmudic riddle in which the young student is asked, is there a shortcut to this location? And the correct answer is, there is a shortcut that is long, and a long way that is short. When you come to God, you'll ask him a question, and he will say, if I can do this, yes and no. In our own understanding, we perceive that a journey should be straight and efficient. Isn't that right? We want to get, if you're married to Claire, we want to get to that place as fast as we can along the straightest road that has the littlest turns and twists. If you're married to Colin, you're going to go all around the show because there's some pretty paths to take. Beautiful lakes, things to see, just green bits to do, stop, take a wee picture, maybe take a wee flask with you, maybe take some cold water and a wee stove and a wee kettle because you just like to do that because it's a lot of fun to do that and have a wee coffee in the countryside. If you're married to me, then you're going to have to die to yourself if that's not what you like to do. If God's your sat-nav and you're a Claire type, you're going to struggle. If you're a human being and God's your sat-nav, you're going to struggle. It's going to be offensive to your self-interest because he's not going to take you the way that you think that you should be taken. We want to go from A to B, and I really hope that this is a good illustration for you. It looks like this. We start at A, then you go to 1, then you go to 2, we're going straight. Then you go to 3, then you go to 48. Then we're going to go back to -2, right? -2. You were at 48. You'd got somewhere. Now you're at -2. Ever been there? I've got this. I have overcome this. I'm journeying with God. We're getting into the rhythm of it. And then you feel like you've been set back further back than you ever were before. Yes, getting a few nods. Yes, we're all there. Then from -2, you go to x squared. What the fly is going on? Then you go to 93. Then you're back to the alphabet, which is H. Then you go 92. Then you go 91. Now we're finding a bit of rhythm. We all find this, don't we? Then we go 92. Then we go 91. And then we go 90. Okay, we're in a process that's familiar to us. We're counting down. It's the way it goes. Then you go to the color green. What on earth? We were in the alphabet. We were in minus two. We were in X squared. We were going in a rhythmic decreasing 92, 90, whatever, 90. Well, I can't even remember. Now we're at a color. What on earth? What? Then we go back to the number three. Then we go to G. Then we're going to the 90s again. Then we go to minus G. What the heck is minus G? You going to put a squared on that for me? Then you arrive at B. Can anybody connect with that? If you've been following the Spirit of God, I reckon probably your life looks like that. And I'm actually pretty disappointed at times as to how my life has looked. I would really like it to have looked a little bit different than it does. But that's my soul. So Colin's soul's going to go right there. And his spirit's going to go, we're going somewhere. And actually the conversation that I'm having about my training and where I am now and what I'm doing now is going, this is all adding up to something. It really is adding up to something. And I'm actually quite excited as to where it goes. You know, when they, I think it was the same with Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, for both of them, both directors went and tried to get a studio to pick it up for years and years and years, and nobody wanted to touch it. I think, in fact, was it in Star Wars, Luke, Mark Hamill was the only one who took royalties, and I don't think he ever needed to work again. So all of these wonderful success stories and these wonderful lives that have these massive and wonderful impacts typically have these types of stories behind them. And even if your life doesn't become one of these wonderful worldly known stories of fame and riches and wealth, you need to recognize that this is the circuitous, what a lovely word that I can't say, circuitous path that the shepherd wants to lead you on. Because he prizes the journey over the destination because he is the destination. And you don't ever want to arrive at the right place at the wrong time. And God doesn't do things the way that they're meant to be done. Just doesn't. I mean, I actually was going to write the way that we think that should be done, but we're in our culture, they're not meant to be done that way. It's offensive. It just isn't right to us. So we're going to have to think the way he thinks. Death to self-interest, and that's why we're told in Proverbs 3:5 that we don't lean on our own understanding. On all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. But his kind of straight is roundabout and windy in a bit of a circle. They're straight paths in God's economy. It's what he does. The first is last, the last is first. You want to be noticed, make yourself hidden. Straight is a circle. Upside down is right way up. It's just the way that he does things. And Andrew Murray, I don't know who Andrew Murray is, but I think it's a great quote, so I thought I would cite him. Andrew Murray said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is fully yielded to him, which I thought, isn't that lovely that I might be able to think, no, those decisions that I made to do the jobs that I did, I actually really believe that that was still you. Andy Murray? Is he a believer? I don't know. I think he's a theologian. And do you want me to do it? God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is fully yielded to him. Say that again. He's a theologian. Andrew Murray, the theologian. Just put that in there. Forget I said it. I don't know who he is. If it was Dallas Willard or Soren Kierkegaard, I would know. Anyway, okay, so can I get you guys up? You're in good company, right? So I'm going to give you some examples of the circuitous path. You can see how ridiculous it really is. Dallas Willard in his book, The Life Without Lack, said, if you're going to draw near to God, you're going to eat and live on some really weird stuff. It's just the way that he works. I don't really understand, but I don't think that I need to. I just need to trust him. God's way of taking down the strong walls of Jericho was to parade around them, and on the seventh time, blow the trumpet. Like they must have gone, are you for real? Can you imagine the swear words of whatever language it was in the armies watching them going, what are they doing? And now they've got instruments. And then the walls came a-tumbling down. It's all a big laugh until actually it happens and everybody goes, what was that? Gideon defeated the enemy by seeing how men like to drink water. And then he edited them on that basis. Then he'd gone to the garden center and got a few terracotta pots, visited the Yankee store, set them in those pots and set them alight, and seemed to win. Now these pleas, what we do is we hold these stories up and don't do what's meant to be done with them, which is to hold them over our lives and go, this is how God works. Joseph, now this, if you were to put this into like context in the staff room, you'd be laughing. You'd be telling the story going, yeah, right. Joseph was led to marry the first virgin ever to be pregnant. Imagine that one in the staff room. Mary's a virgin, you know, she's due in a couple of weeks. And Jesus told his disciples that he himself would bring them life, and then he chose to willingly die on a cross. Circuitous paths. Does that help? You lead me along the circling, windy paths of righteousness because you've put your name to it and there's no better way. Can I get you to stand with me? Let's all be honest and put it out there that none of us likes circly, windy ways. We all want to get to our destinations. And let's be honest about that. That's your soul. That's fine. That's okay. If you yield to that, you're going to miss the path that he has for you. Or miss the paths that have caused you to be disappointed, feel like a failure, feel unsuccessful. Some questions to help you to respond this morning. And once I've finished asking them, if you want to, I'd call you to respond and come to the front. Keep your distance as we've been doing. And then we're going to worship for a time. So has your unmet expectation been that the path would be straight with God? And because of that, do you need to deal with any disappointments? And I would suggest that you do. And then the final question is, not a massive life-changing, commit your life to Jesus question, but in a simple another step kind of question. Are you willing to yield your life more fully to the shepherd? If you can answer yes to any of the above, then please come and join me now at the front.
You have been listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. Remember to check us out at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk and have a great week.